been speaking this past number of weeks on fear. And I started the first week with fear not, where Moses had instructed Joshua, and then God instructed Joshua to fear not, but to be strong and have a good courage. And I'm going to finish this series on fear this evening. And it was interesting that when Helen was here yesterday morning, our songs were covering the topic of fear and being released and set free from fear. And that's God's desire for all of us as Christians, that we be released and set free from fear. Every one of us need to be set free from fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And tonight, I have a very simple message again on fear not. A story that we're all very familiar with. A story which we hear every Christmas time. And because we are familiar with it, sometimes we can just switch off from it. But I believe that no matter how often we hear something, we can glean something new from it. And I believe that the Spirit of God can speak into our hearts. So turn with me to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verse 26. And in the sixth month, that was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And we'll end our reading there. Now verse 29 tells us that Mary was troubled when she heard this saying. That simply means she was afraid when she heard this saying, because verse 30 tells us, Fear not, Mary. The angel said, Fear not. Now Mary had been given news here that she was going to have a child, but this was no ordinary child. This was to be the Saviour of the world. His name was to be called Jesus, which meant Saviour. He was to be called the Son of God. And Mary got this news, and it was strange news to hear. She wondered about it. She wondered what it meant. And as she heard this news, she asked a simple question. You know, whenever we think of the story of Christmas, and obviously this is 9 months before the first Christmas day, But when we think of the story of Christmas, and we think the way it has been so commercialized today, and you see all the nice films that's made, and you hear the stories of the baby Jesus being laid in a manger, and it's near like a Hollywood movie. It's all wrapped up in tinsel, and it's all made to sound so lovely and so nice. And yet when Mary first heard this, it bound to have been terrifying to her. The angel had to assure her and say, "Fear not." And God wants to assure each one of us tonight that no matter what we come against, we're to fear not. And you know, what the angel was telling her here was a miracle was going to take place. And you know, maybe for you tonight, you're waiting on a miracle. Maybe for you tonight, you need a touch from God. You need things to change in your life. You need a miracle to take place. And maybe you're in fear. Maybe you're afraid that that miracle won't happen. Or maybe you're afraid of the miracle itself. But whatever that fear is, God wants to say tonight, fear not. And Mary heard this news, and as I say, it all sounds so lovely and so wonderful. Mary asked the question. She says, "How is this thing going to happen?" She says, "When I know not a man." She was still a virgin. She hadn't been with a man. And she asked the question, how will this happen? How on earth am I ever going to become pregnant when I haven't been with a man? If I was Mary, I would have been asking a whole lot of other questions. That wouldn't have been the first question on my mind. The first thing I'd have been thinking is, what am I going to tell my man, Dad? What am I going to say to my friends? What's family going to think? Now remember, this is 2,000 years ago. This isn't today. And we're going to look at a scripture later and we'll see just how terrifying this would have been for Mary and how dangerous this, in fact, would have been for Mary. But Mary asked the simple question, you know, how is this going to be when I know not a man? Mary has had the most startling news, probably the most miraculous news that anyone could ever hear. You know, Pastor Mike preached a few weeks ago about, you know, if you want to get something that you've never had, you have to do something that you've never done before. And here was Mary. She certainly was going to do something that nobody had ever done before. She was going to have a virgin birth. And Mary was willing to put herself on the line for this. Mary was willing. She questioned it. And there's no harm whenever God speaks something into our lives of asking questions. I don't believe that God's sitting in heaven and saying, just get on with it, don't question me. There may be times when he will say that. Just have faith, step out, do it. But there are times when we can ask God questions and he'll not be concerned about the fact that we are looking answers. He'll not be concerned about the fact that we're inquiring about the reason for this thing. And what Mary done was she showed natural tendencies here. She wasn't seeing things through spiritual eyes. She wasn't seeing things at this point in time like the way that God was revealing and God was going to do things in our life. And you know, when God first speaks to us about our miracle, when God first shows us that he's going to do something great in our lives, at times we tend to think on the natural line of thinking. Mary's natural line of thinking was, I haven't been with a man, so this is impossible. And sometimes we look at our situations and we think, this is impossible. And when God's word tells us something different, we need to line up with the word of God. We need to line up with what God speaks and what God is saying. And God gives her our answer here through the angel Gabriel. And he says that the Holy Ghost is going to come upon her. He says that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You know, the angel goes on to tell her about her cousin Elizabeth, who 6 months earlier had a visitation from this angel, and the angel had told her that she was going to conceive and bear a son, and his name would be called John, and he would be the forerunner to Jesus. that he would come and he would proclaim the message of the Messiah. He would proclaim repentance and he would prepare the way for the coming Messiah. Elizabeth was barren. She was in a later stage of life. And again, the angel says here, you know, those things may seem natural, those things may seem that they're impossible. She hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And I want you to remember that verse. If you go out with nothing else tonight, remember this. With God, nothing will be impossible. Our God is the God of the impossible. Our God is the God of the impossible. Amen. He's able to do anything for us. He's able to speak into any situation. He's able to touch our lives in any situation. He's able to give us the miracle that we need. What's the miracle that you need tonight? What's the touch on your life that you need from God tonight? And I know tonight there are some of you sitting here, and as I speak that, there are thoughts running through your mind already of the miracle that you need from God. The good news is this, that it's possible tonight, not because of us, but because it's possible with God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is a great God Almighty who created the universe, who created the heavens and the earth, and who has already defeated Satan. With God, all things are possible. Mary makes this response when she hears this. In verse 38, she says, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Mary was, first of all, saying that she was a servant of God. She was a handmaid of God. Put herself in the service of God. Mary at this stage was only a young girl, possibly 16, 17 years of age. But she was the handmaid of God. God chose her because that she loved God. God chose her because she was a virgin. He chose her because he had promised that a child would come who would be born of a virgin. And he chose this girl, Mary, and she had a servant heart towards God. And she says, "According to thy word, let it be done unto me." I wonder how many of us are willing to submit to God in that way. You know, we want our miracle, but are we prepared to submit to God in such a way that we will do whatever God wants? We will do it God's way. We will submit to God's authority over our lives. And here she's submitting to God and she says, "According to thy word, be it done unto me." Now, whenever you think of that, Mary here, a young girl, 16, 17 years of age. In those days, for a young girl to become pregnant out of wedlock just did not happen. If it happened, there was consequences to it. And we'll look at a verse of scripture in Deuteronomy shortly to look at that. But Mary willingly said that she would do this thing because she believed in the word of God. She believed the word of God. She accepted what was spoken. She accepted it to be the will of God. And she said, "According to thy word, be it done unto me." Verse 44, whenever Elizabeth is speaking here, and she says to her about the baby in her womb leaping for joy, we know that John the Baptist leaped for joy within Elizabeth's womb because Mary had just shared news with Elizabeth of what she had been told by the angel. And John, even in the womb, knew that this was the Savior. This was the one that he would proclaim about when he was born. And in verse 45, Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she that believes. And the first thing we realize is that Mary believed what was said. And that's important, because if we are to receive anything from God, we have to believe. James tells us that a double-minded man needn't think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. That he's like a ship tossed about to and fro by the waves. If you're double-minded, if you're doubting, if you're thinking one minute you're going to get it and then the next minute you're thinking you're not going to receive it. You have to believe that God is going to be faithful to the things that he promised. What's the miracle that you need tonight? Are you believing God for it? Are you trusting him? Are you standing on the word that he has given you? Are you going to believe in that word? Are you going to stand in faith, stand in confidence, knowing that God is the God of the impossible, that God is able to perform miracles, that God is able to do the things that he has declared he is going to do? Blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance of those things. There shall be a performance of those things. Every one of us should have a confidence in God that if he says something, that there shall be a performance of those things. That we can stand on the word of God because he's faithful in everything that he has promised. Jesus had been promised for hundreds of years, thousands of years, because he was promised way back in the Garden of Eden. After that Adam and Eve had sinned, God spoke to the serpent and said that he would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, and that the seed of the woman would bruise his head. And God was speaking there about Jesus, speaking about the promised seed that would come and that would defeat Satan. And God had a plan of salvation even before the foundation of the world. And God had this great plan, and here we see the fruition of that starting to take place. God had made the promise thousands of years earlier in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, and now here we are, and that promise is going to be fulfilled, because God always performs what he says he's going to do. And if you need a miracle tonight, and you're believing and you're trusting in God, and you're starting on a word that God has given you, God will perform those things that he has said he is going to do. Mary had an encounter here with God. She had an encounter that would change the rest of her life. An encounter that would bring her hardship, bring her heartache, and yet bring her so much joy. Because she had been chosen, out of all the women, she had been chosen of God to be the mother of the Son of God. And she knew it was a privilege, and if you go on to read the rest of that chapter, she praises God and magnifies God for the promise that he has given her. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. That's Mary's story, or part of it. Joseph, whom she was betrothed to. This is how he was thinking. Now, in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, I said earlier about the Christmas story all being wrapped up in tinsel and sounding so nice and so romantic and so lovely. But as we read this story, it's easy to see that when Mary had her first conversation with Joseph and told him about what had happened and how the angel had appeared and how that she was expecting a child and this child was of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine that conversation? Joseph thought she was a liar. Joseph thought, for sure, she's been with somebody else. She's let me down. She's betrayed me. Joseph thought all sorts of thoughts running through his mind, and there was a fear within Joseph as well. And he had this dream, and in the dream, again, he was told to fear not. There are times when we'll go through things in life that we don't understand, and God will ask us to do things that we'll not have a clue about and we'll not understand. But God says in the midst of all that, fear not, because he is in control. He is the one who has set the whole situation up. Joseph did not believe the story that Mary had told him. Joseph was pondering these things. He was thinking over them. He was wondering what he should do. And it says here of Joseph that being a just man, he didn't want to make a public example of her, and he was minded to put her away. Now, if Joseph had have believed Mary, why would he even dreamt about putting her away? Because he would have accepted this was God. He would have accepted this was the will of God. And he would have been excited as Mary was, and they would have got on with things. But evidently he thought she was telling lies. And I have often wondered, you know, what that conversation was like whenever she first came and told Joseph. And again, what Joseph was thinking. You know, again, as I think about if Joseph went and told his mother and father that the girl Mary that I have been going with this past 2 years and she's been promised to me in marriage and we're supposed to get married possibly next year and she's pregnant but I'm not the father. What would his father and mother have said? Oh, by the way, Dad, she's pregnant, but she's pregnant with the Holy Ghost. It's God's child she's born. Can you imagine that conversation? You imagine what the father thought? He said, I didn't come down the river on a boat or in a bubble. And he would have been advising Joseph to catch himself on. And we see it all wrapped up in tinsel, but all the things that Mary and Joseph would have had went through here. And you know, that's only part of it. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Joseph had a reason. You know, he still loved Mary, and he had a reason for putting her away privily, not to make a public example of her. In Deuteronomy 22, verses 22 to 24, this was the law. This is what could have happened to Mary. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so shalt thou put away evil from among you. Now you can see what it meant for Mary whenever she said, according to your word, be it unto me. Mary was accepting the fact that she was going to have a child and that it wasn't Joseph's child. She knew the law. She'd been brought up as a Jew. She'd been brought up going to the house of God. She knew the teachings of the law. She knew what Deuteronomy said. And she knew that there was the possibility that she could be stoned to death, because who would ever going to believe that this child was not a man's child, but the child of God? And Joseph, because he loved her, didn't want to see her being stoned to death, and he sought to put her away privily without people knowing about this. He would send her off somewhere or do something that people didn't know that she was expecting. But you know, that wasn't God's plan. And we can try to figure it out and sort it out our own way, but God has something different. And you see, the miracle that you need from God, you can spend from now to doomsday trying to figure out how that miracle is going to come and how it's going to appear in your life and what way God needs to do it. And God's saying, no, I'll do it my way. I'll sort it out. You'll get your miracle. Don't you even spend time thinking about how you're going to get that miracle, because I have it already sorted. And if you need a miracle tonight, know this, God has it sorted. You have no need to fear, no need to worry, no need to have doubts in your mind. Joseph and Mary were going to receive the greatest miracle that mankind has ever received. They were going to receive God's greatest gift of love, which was Jesus. Jesus was going to come into this world as the Savior of the world. And God here speaks to Joseph in this dream through the angel, and again in verse 20 he says, "Fear not. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And in verse 24 it tells us that Joseph, then after he wakes out of this dream, does what is bidden him, and he takes unto him Mary for his wife. Again, obedience to the word of God. That's the thing that will bring fruitfulness in our lives, when we're obedient to what God's word says, when we're obedient to the call of God in our lives, when we submit to the will of God for our lives and go God's way. God will bring the blessings into our life, and he will bring everything that we need to have our miracle take place. Joseph also showed great restraint here in verse 25. After he'd married her, it says that he knew her not, or he didn't sleep with his wife until after Jesus was born. He knew that Jesus was to be something special, someone special that was a gift from God to this world, and he restrained from the lust and desires of the flesh. You know, Joseph, we don't read an awful lot about Joseph. We read about him again when Jesus was 12, and that's the last we hear of Joseph. But again, I believe Joseph was a special man. Joseph was a man who loved God. Joseph was a man who obeyed the commands of God. And Joseph had a heart after God, and Joseph had the privilege of rearing the Son of God in his home. Now, we've had 3 kids, and I love them all, but there are times when you couldn't see them far enough. Jesus was never like that. Jesus was a perfect child growing up. Can you imagine rearing a perfect child in your home? Can you imagine never having to scold them, never having to give off, never having to chastise them for doing something wrong? Jesus never sinned. He never made a mistake. He never done anything wrong in his life. Mary and Joseph had the privilege of rearing a child like that. We read many times of Mary being with Jesus when he performed miracles, when he started his ministry. Mary was there when Jesus was hung on the cross. And she was there when he rose again from the dead. Imagine the joy in Mary's heart. She was privileged. She received this great gift from God, a gift which she was to give to the world, her son, which was God's son. But she was willing to accept the word of God. She was willing to put herself in danger, willing to put herself out so that she could receive this miracle from God. I want to ask the question again. Are you willing to do something different? Are you willing to put yourself out there for God in order to see something different take place in your life? To see the impossible made possible through God? To see God do the miracle that you desire within your life? You know, if you're here tonight, just going to ask the praise team to come here again. And I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you need a miracle, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to pray with you individually. But as the praise team come, I just want each one of us to think about the miracle that we need in our own lives. I want each of us to think about possibly what it may cost us, how it may affect our lives, but are we willing to allow God to do what he has to do in order to receive that miracle from God? I'm just going to ask the praise team to